In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. C.S. Lewis says that there is a particular sin that every one of us suffers from, and yet most of us don't think we suffer from it. And at the same time, it's also a sin that we seem to have no trouble ever finding in everybody else. So, if you guessed what this sin is, the sin that none of us thinks we have, but we think everybody else has it, it goes by a lot of different names and phrases. Things like this: arrogant, self-conceited, full of himself, thinks the world revolves around her, stuck up, high on his horse, thinks she's better than everyone else, in love with himself. But Christians, we will call it simply what the Bible calls it: pride. My wife Valerie had a pastor that said something pretty profound, that often the things that we find the most annoying about other people, the things that bother us the most about others, maybe even the sins which bother us the most, these are almost always the very same sins that we ourselves struggle with the most. That's why we find them so annoying. And at any case, this is definitely true with pride. The very sin of pride that we always have no trouble noticing in others is the very sin we find it very hard to notice in ourselves. So, what does God do about this? Well, the thing is, God must deflate us. He must humiliate us. Jesus says in our gospel reading today, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. Now, humble is an interesting word, at least in English it is. The English words like humble, humility, humiliate, they all have the same Latin root word, which is humus, which means ground or dirt or earth. So literally, from the Latin, to be humbled is to be brought down to the ground. Brought back down to earth, we sometimes say, right? Well, in more biblical terms, we would even say that being humbled is being returned back to the dust from whence we came. Remember the verse, remember that you are dust. Well, God often brings us back down to the dust, back down to earth, in order that we would be humbled and would learn to trust in Him and not in ourselves. As the scriptures say, you all know this little saying, pride comes before a fall. Well, why? Because when you have pride, God makes you fall so that He can break your pride and so that He can turn you back to faith in Jesus. So this is all through the Bible, if you think about it. I'll give you a few quick examples. How about Noah? Noah, great man of faith, built the ark, saved his family. What does God do with him right afterward? Humiliates him in a terrible night of drunkenness and nakedness. Noah is humiliated. What about Jacob? Jacob, after he stole the birthright and the blessing from his brother Esau, he's all high on his horse, right? God humiliates him. He has to run for his life. His brother Esau says, I'm going to kill you. So he's running away scared to Uncle Laban's. Then 14 years later, on the way back, God does it again. Jacob is once again terrified that big brother Esau is going to kill him. He's humiliated. How about Joseph? When Joseph became prideful about his great dreams, his brothers were going to serve him, right? And his colorful coat that his dad gave him. God humiliated him by sending him to be a slave in Egypt to learn about faith and trust in God. What about King David? He becomes a mighty warrior in Israel, right? David has slayed hundreds of thousands, they sing about him. God humiliates him, sends him running for his life from King Saul, having to hide in caves and dodge flying spears. That's, by the way, when David wrote a lot of his psalms, when he was running scared. Songs of faith in God. See, what you and I must learn then, and it's a hard lesson to learn, but what we must learn is that being humiliated is actually good. It's good for us. Because the only way that we will come to truly believe in Christ is to be humbled, so that we will not trust in ourselves. If we're way up here in the clouds, right, walking around in our pride, thinking we're on top of the world, we're never going to turn to God. We must be humbled. And God will do that in a lot of different ways, but that's the lesson that's hard, that being humiliated is for our good. I don't have to tell you guys, we don't like it. We don't like being embarrassed or humiliated. You know, we're prideful. We're self-conceited. Of course we don't like, you know, when somebody catches us in our sins. Or maybe when our friends or family find out something we've done we were trying to keep secret, and it's humiliating. Or maybe when we flat out fail at something and we're embarrassed and ashamed. Or maybe when we say something stupid and we regret it for the next week or month. But just think about this. Every time that you're embarrassed or humiliated, you're brought back down to earth, God is doing it for your good. Here's the hard truth. Humiliation is being a Christian. Jesus says, whoever humbles himself will be exalted. If you and I are going to follow Jesus, we're going to be humiliated. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you're going to be humiliated publicly, but you will be humiliated. Even if it's just every morning when you pray to God, you're embarrassed of the sins you have to confess to Him. That's humiliation, and that's being a Christian. And all of this is because we follow Jesus. See, Jesus was humiliated. It's funny, if I ask you this, if I say, would you like to be known as a humble person? You're going to all say yes. Yeah, I would like to be known. I don't want to be known as arrogant and prideful. But if I then ask you, would you like to be humiliated? You'll probably say, no, not at all. But see, they go hand in hand. Humility comes from being humiliated. And if you want to be humble, then you follow Jesus who was humiliated. In fact, we specifically call it His humiliation. That's what happened when He became one of us. Remember, Jesus is, as we say in the Nicene Creed, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of was and substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. How humiliating for Him to become us. How humiliating to be born a helpless baby in a manger, to be a toddler in Nazareth under Joseph and Mary, to be tempted by Satan. How humiliating to be arrested, tried, mocked, beaten, crucified, and buried. And if you think about that last one, buried, He literally was humbled, brought down into the dust of the earth when He died and was buried for us. But this is where we learn that humiliation is good. Whoever humbles himself will be exalted. The reason God ever brings anyone down is to raise them up again. Jesus humbled himself for the entire world so that all of us could be raised up in him to forgiveness and eternal life. So, to come back to this idea that I started with, I said that C.S. Lewis made this comment that everybody's full of pride, but nobody wants to admit it. Well, in truth, that's not his actual quote. What he goes on to say is that there are some people who will admit they're prideful. And who does he say that is? Christians. Christians, he said, true Christians, like all of you here today, will admit that you are full of pride. We are. And we're not afraid to say so because that's part of our humiliation. Yes, it's embarrassing. And yes, it's humbling. But that's good for us. Confessing our own pride, that leads us to trust in Jesus and in His humiliation. And not only that, but confessing our pride also leads us to learn what humility really is. So now to end this sermon today, I'd like to get as specific as I can with you. You as Christians, I know you want to be humble. You don't want to be prideful, arrogant, self-conceited. Well, Jesus and St. Paul in our readings today tell you exactly what humility looks like. And what does it look like? It looks like Jesus. So first of all, he tells a little parable. When you go to a feast, he says, don't sit yourself down right away in the best seat, but rather take the lowest seat. Well, what is this? Put others before yourself. And who did that? Jesus did. He put you before himself. He took the lowest seat. He went to the cross and died for our sins. And this is a hard lesson. I know you know this, but think about it. Intuitively, when you and I walk into a room, because we're sinners, when we walk into a room, intuitively we think we're the most important person there. And Jesus, that's our pride, you understand. But Jesus is teaching us to humiliate ourselves. When we walk into a room, to see everyone else in the room as more important than us. To take the lowest place. Then Paul gives us a whole list of what humility looks like. He starts with gentleness. Now, gentleness, the problem with gentleness is when it comes into English, it means something different. You know, if I say to you, Jesus was gentle, you might say, wait a minute, Jesus wasn't always gentle. A lot of times he was really harsh with people. Well, yes, he was sometimes. But that's kind of a different word, gentle. We still have this in English. We call them gentlemen. What's a gentleman? It's someone of high character. Actually, it comes from having high nobility, having a, you know, high ancestry. So one dictionary of the Bible that I looked at says, gentleness in the Bible is the strength to bear another's weakness. Gentleness is not then being soft or being a wimp. It's being strong enough to bear with somebody who's weaker than you are. And of course, that's Jesus. He had the strength to bear with you and I who are much weaker than us. Next, he says humility is patience. Jesus was patient as he bore the sins of the whole world. Well, you know this, that if you're full of pride, if you're arrogant, you don't have patience. We've all been there, or maybe we've been that person, in the line at the grocery store, right, who's in a hurry and frustrated and angry. Because they have no patience. They think their time is more important than everybody else's. Or that person in the traffic jam, right, who's honking their horn, trying to drive around everybody. That's pride. But humility, on the other hand, considers others and their time just as important as ours. And look at Jesus, his patience in bearing the cross for us. Next, Paul says humility is bearing with one another in love. And actually, this is the one I especially wanted to give you for your consideration today. When you're full of pride, what happens is you don't have any allowance for any other people because you think they should be just as good as you are and as you know, doing what you do. But this is an interesting thing, that being a Christian is bearing with somebody else's weaknesses and not minding if that's humiliating for you. So let me give you an example. If your next door neighbor happens to become public enemy number one in El Paso or Gridley or Secor or wherever, then being a Christian means you're not embarrassed to still be their friend and be seen with them, even if it will be a shame for you. That's being strong enough to bear with other people in their weaknesses. Finally, Paul says humility is being eager to maintain our unity. Again, pride would want to divide all the time. Pride wants to take sides and make it a competition. But humility is always striving for unity. And that's what Jesus does with his death on the cross, uniting us all in his spirit in the forgiveness of our sins. So to try to wrap this all up, yes, I can say pride may be the one thing that all of us sinners have in common, and it is. But on the other hand, humility is the one thing that Jesus has for all of us Christians. And we're not, then, as Christians, afraid to be humiliated. We're not, because that means we're following Jesus. And whoever humbles himself, Jesus says, will be exalted. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.